summary statement, what our faith should be actively doing in our lives is really exercising our faith in prayer. Amen. Through our praying. So James chapter 5, we're going to start at verse 13 through verse 20. James chapter 5, verse 13 through verse 20. If anyone among you is suffering, read now the New King James Bible, is suffering, let him pray. Now, it would be good to you if you had a Bible, you can write or look into it, circle how many times the word prayer, prayed is in this section of Scripture, the 13th through the 21st verse. Let him pray. If anyone is cheerful, let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. Everybody say pray. Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray. Everybody say pray. For one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed. Everybody say prayed. Earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again. Everybody say prayed again. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Brethren, if any one of you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Amen. The Lord bless your hearing and receiving of his word tonight. So last time we covered James chapter 5, verse 7 through 12. And the word patience is used 7 times in the previous section of Scripture that we read and studied and shared with you last time. So the word patience. So our subtitle, or our subject last time, 2 weeks ago before you, was the power of patience. The power of patience. Well, then this is connected to patience because in this section of Scripture, in these passages of Scripture we just read, just right now, the word prayer appears 7 times. The word a prayer appears 7 times. So here's the link and a key that we need to learn and understand right up front. And it is this: prayer is a key for dealing with situations that require patience. I'll say it again. Prayer is a key for dealing with situations that require patience. Now, we broke down patience as constancy, consistency, cheerful endurance, perseverance, long-suffering. See, none of us are exempt or excused or recused from pain and problems. The Bible says in Psalms 34:19 that many are the afflictions of the righteous. So righteous people get many afflictions. So as we segue into and transition into 2023, you've got to realize that, okay, I'm going to have some afflictions. I'm not going to, because a lot of what I hear today is that people saying, man, it's a hard year. 2022 is a hard year, it's a rough year. And they're ready for the calendar to change so that their circumstances perhaps will get better. Let me give you some news. The word is still the same. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulations, tests, trials, trouble. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. That's the reference there is John 16:33. He told us in John 14 to don't let our heart be troubled, and don't let your heart become afraid. John 14:1. Same. Psalms 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, But the Lord delivers them. So you're always going to have some problems. So just accept it as part of the pathway to your progress in Christ. Amen. Just because you're moving up in the Lord, and progressing through your pathway of discipleship and followership of Jesus, doesn't exempt you from pain or problems. Everybody got that? Everybody say, Pastor, I got that. If you're online with us, text and say, Pastor, I got that. Okay. All right. So patience is mentioned seven times, not for no coincidence or just haphazardly just repeated in there. It's repeated in there through the Holy Spirit telling us through James, you need to have patience and you need to operate and function in the power of patience. And here he's telling us and emphasizing to us very loud and clear, we need to be prayerful in our troubles. We need to be prayerful in our troubles. I would say that there is much more room to go and grow in our prayer life. Because as our faith is growing, our prayer life should be growing. Because one of the major means of using your faith is in prayer. Releasing your faith through prayer and praise. So the summary statement of chapter 5 is this. We said it before in the beginning, but let's say it again. A mature Christian is prayerful, not prayerless, prayerful in troubles. A mature Christian is prayerful in troubles. Everybody got that? All right. And so when anyone faces hardship or stress, the answer is, what's the answer, church? Pray. Everybody say pray. When you go through hardships and struggles or stress, the answer is pray. Now, here's sometimes what people try to opt out of. They try to get other people to pray. They try to call other people to pray. But he says here in the first verse that we read, is anyone suffering, let him or her pray. That tells me right up front, every individual has prayer responsibilities. You're supposed to pray in the midst of your pain or in facing your problems. You're supposed to pray. Some people say, well, would you pray for me because I got this problem? Well, the question begs is this, are you praying? Have you prayed? What has the Holy Spirit said to you in your heart as you prayed? Because outer voices should never precede and override your inward voice of your spirit listening to the Holy Spirit. The first response to trouble, suffering, and as it says in the Amplified, is anyone among you afflicted? It means ill-treated or suffering evil. So that's what that word suffering means. You're being mistreated by someone or some system or something, ill-treated, not treated fairly or justly or righteously, and you're suffering evil. Evil, define that again. Let's define that again. Evil is anything or anyone that takes you away from your God-intended purpose or plan. Anything or anyone that takes you away from your God-intended purpose or plan. So if you're suffering evil, or if you're being ill-treated, then you have the first response that you must pray. You know, we need to pray about things that we do ourselves. If you spend too much time on social media, it's a good platform, but if you're wasting time where you're not giving yourself in time in prayer, and you're forfeiting or you're missing out on your prayer opportunities or prayer responsibilities, then that's evil to you. That social media time is being squandered, and it's taking you away from your intended purpose, which is to carry out your prayer responsibilities every single day. Now, you know, we said it before, if the devil doesn't make you bad, he makes you what? Busy. And so you get so bothered and caught up in doing your thing that you're not doing what you're responsible to do. And we've said it before, every Christian laborer or leader, the first responsibility of leadership or laboring in the Lord, and we're all Christian laborers, whether we're doing it or not, is what? Responsibility. What am I responsible for today, Lord? What are my responsibilities? And the scale is this: faithful over little, you get promoted to more. You get bigger and broader responsibilities. Amen. So that's the first test. Yeah, my bearers, responsibilities is directly connected to or correlated to leadership and maturity, spiritual maturity. Maturity is not based on age or time in grade or time in church. You can say, well, I've been a Christian for 20 years. Well, that doesn't mean you're responsible like a 20-year Christian. You could be irresponsible as a 20-year Christian. But see, maturity is based on your acceptance of your responsibilities. So some people don't want to be responsible to deal with the dirty stuff, the demonic stuff, the difficult stuff. That's why parents are parents. Good parents know they have to deal with the good and the bad in raising a family. Irresponsible parents do what? Run and hide. Run away from pain and run away from problems. Run away from the dirty stuff. Run away from the difficult stuff. Run away from the demonic stuff. Let the devil get all in the house. And they don't want to pray him out because they want to be irresponsible. Y'all got quiet on me real quick. Maturity is the acceptance of responsibility. The first test of laboring and leading is what? Responsibility. The first challenge of laboring and leading is prayer. Because everybody's got the same responsibility to pray. And we said it on Sunday morning in our prayer school, to be a prayerless Christian is like a human being that doesn't breathe. Prayer is like oxygen to your human nature. You got to breathe to live. You got to breathe out and breathe in. Prayer is like that to a Christian believer. You got to pray to really live a life in Christ as a Christian. And as you mature, you accept those responsibilities and you assume those responsibilities in prayer, and you don't abdicate or relinquish those responsibilities that you have to pray. And it's good enough for you to go home right now and say, we got some instruction today. Somebody say, praise the Lord. See, failure to pray cuts the Christian believer off from God's power. Failure to pray cuts the Christian believer off from God's power, leading to even greater distress. So this implies and infers this, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters online, this implies this, that if we're powerless, we're probably, for the most part, prayerless. If we're powerless, then for the most part, we're prayerless. Failure to pray cuts us off from believers. So God never commissioned us and gave us a mission, assignment, and a mandate to walk through life without needing his power. Because we're dealing not with flesh and blood for the most part. Most 99% of our pain and problems are spiritual. So we need God's power. We need God's presence. We need God's protection to keep us from the spirits and opponents and foes and those arrayed against us that are causing hell to come into our house and hell to come into our heart. Amen. What did he say after verse 13? If anyone is, verse 13, let him pray if you're suffering. If anyone's cheerful, let him sing song. Let me say this about this, because I would suggest and submit to you that this is probably one of the big omissions in our prayer wheelhouse. Singing songs or singing psalms. You know, the New Testament gives a couple of references to psalms, and it's just not a book in the Bible. Now, there's 150 psalms in the Bible, but praising God in song is what he's meaning. He's meaning singing psalms. If anyone is cheerful, you're supposed to sing. So you have a responsibility to sing. Somebody said, well, I pray, but then praise. So we cannot get away with being a baby during praise time and have our what? Mouth closed and our head down and our heart up, heart closed. We got to sing because there's honor and worship due to his name. What do you think we've been emphasizing on Sunday morning? You got to double up and triple up on your praise because you're indebted to praise God. He said, if anyone's cheerful, let him do what? Let him sing what? What? What does he say sing? Psalms. Everybody say psalms. All right, so righteous definition now about psalms. A psalm is a spiritual poem or an ode, O-D-E. It means, in the Strong's Concordance, it means make melody, the Greek word, celebrate the divine worship with music and accompanying ode. Make melody. Celebrate the divine worship with music and accompanying ode. And ode, excuse me, ode, O-D, O-D-E-S. And then sing. So you think about your throne time is prayer. Your thank and praise time is your praising and singing. How much throne time are you spending, and how much praise time, thank and praise time, are you releasing? Again, this is all part of your prayer life wheelhouse. It's also a form of prayer. Praise, as we said Sunday, is not only a highest form of your faith, but it's also a high form of prayer. A higher form of prayer. So do you sing psalms, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen? Let me encourage you in 2023, ask the Holy Spirit to help you sing more psalms. The Father likes you singing. Amen. Have you ever sung or said psalms from being merry and cheerful? He says, if anybody cheerful, let him sing psalms. That's instruction. That's direction. Now, where is it else in the Bible? Let me reference that. Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. Listed this. It's in verse 19, actually. It said, do not be drunk with wine, wherein is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. So what is it, verse 18 telling us? In 2022 and 2023 vernacular or understanding, he says, don't walk around under the influence of other natural things or trouble. because that would be dissipation. Like wine gets you drunk, and drunkenness is not the will of God. Drunkenness is not good to walk with God. Are you listening to me? He's saying some things you can get intoxicated with, like wine, and get so polluted and diluted with it that you're like doing stupid stuff, just like a drunk person does. Don't walk through life like a silly drunk. But he said, be filled or under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Then he says, speaking to one another in what? Everybody say it with me, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So there's three things that you can sing. You sing it. Don't wait for the praise team to sing. You sing it. Singing and making melody where? In your heart to who? The Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say glory to God. So when you get filled with the Spirit, he helps you sing better and sing bigger, because that joy's there, the Spirit's influence is there, and he's giving you fresh psalms based on the word, hot wired out of heaven right to your heart. But they're not supposed to stay in your heart. They're supposed to be making melody from your heart to the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, Colossians 3:16, here's another example. Let every two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Listen to this. This is New Testament scripture. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Those are three things. Singing. So do you do some singing in your own time to the Lord Jesus? Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, I'd venture to say this. If you spend too much time in TV, you're not going to have a song. Now you see why I make the statement. There's no unemployment in the body of Christ. There's just people that's not working. Working in their areas of responsibility. And the first responsibility is prayer. But that's the biggest challenge. Because the devil will bother you. He'll keep you busy. He'll make you bad or mad or sad. And you don't want to pray. But the underlying statement, summary statement of chapter 5, is that a mature Christian is prayerful in troubles. Let me look at one more reference, 1 Corinthians 14:26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, each of you has a psalm? Now, if we took an inventory tonight, we say, okay, what's your psalm? We've had this week already started. Sunday night, you know, we had church, and then Sunday morning, talked about praise. You know, ideally, everybody should have a psalm. Should have something. Not come to just get something, but come to church with something. Why? Because I spent what kind of time, sister? Throne time in prayer, right? Praying in the Spirit. Praying and talking to God, and then I spent thanks and praise time. I put throne time and thanksgiving and praise time. So that means you don't have that exchange with God without getting something. Hallelujah. How come everyone has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation? Let all things be done for edification. Praise God. Isn't that good? What is the big point I'm trying to make here to take away? Now, write this down. Praising God is just as important as praying to God. Now, if you hadn't figured out where this church has been and is supposed to go, just go back and listen to the last 2 months of messages. We started in November. The purpose and power of thanking. We're not praising and thanking him enough, worshiping him enough. And then we emphasize prayer in our prayer school, right? So all of us need a lifting. Come on, lift your hands up right now. We all of us need a lifting in our prayer life and our praise life. A lifting, a going up to the next level. You got your socks. Amen. Step up. Step up to another level of prayer and praise. Glory to God. Everybody getting that? Okay, here's the point again. Praising God is just as important as praying to God. Now, let me give you seven areas that require prayer in some form. Seven primary areas that require prayer in some form. Number one is supplication. Just write 1 through 7. Supplication. Now, we know you got to be asking God for stuff. You don't want to live your life where all your needs are met without God, without his hand, without his help. There should be a regular, daily supplication going up. That God, I need this. I'm asking you for this in Jesus' name. Now, one reference we see in James is James 1:5. He said, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of what? God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, or without reproach. And so he said, and it will be given to him. But he said, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. That's verse 6, James 1:6. Nothing wavering. In other words, wavering is vacillating or doubting or going back and forth from faith to fear. That's the prayer of faith. That's the prayer of petition. Sometimes you need to get wisdom through praying in tongues. And that's spiritual supplication, where you're tapping into the wisdom of God because you don't know what to do. And you pray in tongues long enough to tap into the wisdom of God. Amen. Number two is suffering. Seven primary areas that require prayer in some form. Suffering, that means ill treatment, trials, troubles, treated bad by somebody or something. You know, some people like to tell how they're bullied or bothered by certain people, and they'd rather talk about it than pray about it. That's not the right order. That's not out of order, and that's not the order of God. God wants you to pray about it. He said, if you're suffering evil, if you're suffering being ill-treated or going through evil, hardships, then pray. Pray. The best way to pray in those situations, James 5:13, is the first part of that verse, is what? Pray in tongues. That's why we encourage and almost tell you it's a divine command. Jesus said, don't be drunk with your problems. Get filled with the Spirit. So everybody should be praying in the Spirit. Amen. It takes your prayer life on another level. It's direct communication to God. Number three, singing. We just talked about that. That's Psalms. That's the second half of James 5:13. Praising God. Praise and worship. It's a big deal for your personal life and your public life. When he inhabits the praises of his people and you go around people, you smell like God. You look like you've been with God. You talk like you've been with God. We have to hang out with God on a regular. We need him. Amen. Number four, sickness. He said, if anyone's sick among you, let him call. It didn't say wait for the pastors to call you or somebody else to call you. He said, you call. That means you got to pray, get your faith stirred up to call somebody and say, hey, I need agreement to get through this situation. And we're not doing it enough because some people are so personal with their salvation and private with their salvation, they don't want to let nobody in and know that I'm getting this health challenge kicking my behind. Can you come alongside of me and help me pray this thing through? That's where your four crazy faith friends can come alongside you, lift you up, agree with you, add their faith to it. Now, how do you add faith to someone else? Well, you got to say something, because you mix faith or add faith with this mixer, your tongue. I'm going to add my faith in agreement. So I'm just mixing my faith through my heart belief and my mouth confession to your faith that you've already standing on the word with for before God to receive your healing. So I'm going to add my faith to yours. Now remember, there's no time or distance to faith or the spirit realm. Faith can override time and distance. So it doesn't, you don't have to be right there in front of me, but I do have to release my faith through my mouth. Somebody say, praise the Lord. We're not just scattering and shattering stuff and just hoping and wishing somebody going, pray for me. I've just got this problem. He said, let them call who? Elders in their church. And let those people pray over. That means you pray, you grab somebody who knows how to pray, like an elder, a mature Christian, not an immature. Because when you tell them, oh, you got that, oh, they're going to pull your faith down. You grab somebody that can believe with you. Somebody say, hey, praise the Lord. Now, listen to me. I was talking with a client today, and of course, a couple of days this week and meeting with people. But sickness is a big deal. And as I'm studying this out, the Lord's telling me, he said, you know, sickness has gone too far in many, many, many churches. Because notice how he starts the question, is anyone sick among you sick? So when he said, our standard or our goal, our benchmark is all the sick get what? Healed. In the name of who? Jesus. By the power of God. Underutilized, sister. Because no, some people are afraid to call, too ashamed to call, or just refuse to call. I don't want you in my business. I don't want you to know all the trouble. And if you think somebody's going to think less of you because you just got attacked with this big disease. No, we ought to rally around that stuff. But the first person who's supposed to call out is the person who's being attacked with the sickness. But some people are so private and personal, they don't want nobody to know their business. They don't want to call because they're immature in their faith. Well, praise the Lord. Y'all getting something out of this tonight? So that's prayer of faith, prayer of agreement, and then sin. We see here in James 5:16. Just keep up with that same passage there. We're going to confess your trespasses to one another. Now, the King James says false, but that means it says in the Amplified, confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins. So you got four different things that you're permitted to confess to one another. Look, brother, I missed it here. I made a mistake. I stepped out ahead of my faith, or maybe I said something I should have. That's like confessing your fault one to another. And then you pray for one another. Now, verse 16 is huge. If we just walk away here tonight and practice verse 16, we've got a major accomplishment. But again, if you're just like with sickness, if you're so privatized and personal, and I don't want to talk to anybody about my problem, because we all, how many have made mistakes? How many of you missed it? He said, confess your faults, one to your slips, your false steps, your offenses, and your sin. Because some people sit there in church mad at somebody else who's another Christian. That's your offenses. If you get offended, you won't make it through your trouble. Let me tell you right now, It's going to be the same in 2023. If you get offended, you won't make it through your trouble, through your trauma. You got to get that out. How do you get it out, my sister, my brother? How do you get it out? Sin always goes out by the way of the mouth. 1 John 1:9, confess your sins. He's faithful. Just what? To forgive. Forgive. He said, confess your faults, your slips, your false steps. You thought you were operating in truth, and it's you didn't have scripture for it. Let me tell you, some people rub the fence. They think they're all right because I don't got scripture for this, or I don't have a word from God on this. You're supposed to not walk out or step out until you got scripture and you got a word from God. Any other step out is a false step. Because you're not stepping out on truth. You're stepping out on what you see and feel and what your facts are. Are y'all seeing this? So you supposed to, I blew it. I thought I had a leading about this. No, it was just your feelings. Or you had pizza last night. Come on now. You're supposed to stay in prayer until you get a clear, direct instruction from the Lord or a word from the Lord. Either he leads you to scriptures and verse to stand on. That should be your dialogue and your conversation with God. Scripture and verse, please. And he tells you. This is what you stand. He gives you a rhema word or a spoken word, a word that he illuminates and reveals to your heart. This is what. Don't move out ahead. Any other move out ahead is a false step. And I would venture to say there's probably not a lot of confession of slip-ups, false steps, faults, sins. And he said, confess it to one another and be so that you and pray also for one another, so prayer is included, and that you may be healed and restored in a spiritual tone of mind and heart. I'm reading on Amplified. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. We always said, we repeated what Brother Copeland said one time. All failure is a prayer failure. Sometimes it's this verse. We didn't get the sin out so that the righteousness can come in. Righteousness is right standing with God, right position with God, in good to be able to go before God without any sense of guilt, fear, condemnation, or inferiority. It is right standing with God. It is saying, okay, God's going to make it right now. But when you got unconfessed sin, faults, missteps, things ain't going to get right. How do you get them out? By the way of the mouth. Everybody say, by the way of the mouth. Whew. Y'all making me work tonight. Hallelujah. Somebody say, glory to God. And so typically these four areas evolve around supernatural relationships. Because why do you do it to one another? Because there's a social sin. I got offended. I got mad at somebody. And I'm not telling anybody, it's just a secret. But it's social sin. None of us have allowance to let the sun go down on our wrath. Isn't that what the scripture says? Be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun. So if I'm waking up with the same pain in my heart, in my soul, about that person, uh-oh, I done slipped. I done made a false step. I'm still harboring and holding on to that grudge more than a day. It ain't right. Amen. Because he said, you confess your sin, he'll faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you from what? All unrighteousness. Wow, this is good stuff tonight. Somebody say, glory to God. Now, let me give you a law that you need to understand with this verse. Everybody ready? The law of reciprocation. The law, it's a spiritual law of reciprocation. Now, we're going to see in the last two verses the law of restoration along with Galatians 6, 1 and 2. But this reciprocation, what does that mean? Reciprocation, according to Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, is interchange of acts. So if I'm with my brother back here, and we're kind of basically fellowshipping, and fellowship is not just having fun and playing games and eating food. Fellowship is where you open your heart up to someone. It's communion. It's the Greek word is koinonia. That means I share my heart, open my heart to someone. That's why I said don't have fellowship with light and darkness, because he can't have it. Don't have fellowship with Christ and Belial. And you can't have fellowship with righteousness and unrighteousness. That's why your close friends shouldn't be in the world or not following Christ. Your close friends should be in Christ and not outside of Christ. Woo, man, y'all making me work tonight. So when you open your heart up to someone, they enlighten, you enlighten, and you say, look, man, I messed up. Let me just be transparent here. You don't want to open your heart to a wicked person, a worldly person, because you're going to let darkness in. And you're going down, brother. You're going down, sister. You sharing your heart with somebody outside of Christ, you put yourself in crisis. Somebody say, glory to God. And you can't be sharing your heart with a carnal Christian and an immature Christian, because they can't handle your problem. That's how sometimes Christians mess up other Christians. I guess I had to deal with it tonight. I had to talk about this stuff tonight. Some Christians are babies. You got to know the fruit of their maturity. You can't talk to them about everything. So this reciprocation is your exchange of acts, a mutual giving in returning, and a reciprocation of kindness. That means I pray for you. You pray for me. Now, simple form of that is this. I said it before and I'll say it again. Never come to a church service you hadn't prayed for ahead of time, because you will miss the blessings and the benefit God has for you here or there at that church service. Whenever we go on the road to go to a meeting or a conference or whatever we got, I pray for the speakers. I pray for the meeting. Why? Because I want what God has. It's the law of reciprocation. What did he say? Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. Amplified says restored to a spiritual tone and of heart and mind. Because, see, I could have stinking thinking. My mind could be jaded a little bit. My optics can be blurry. And I can't see clearly and think clearly. I need to be restored in my heart and in my mind. My heart condition needs to get cured and healed up a little bit. Y'all seeing this? So if I'm never praying for somebody else or confessing my faults to anyone else, I'm not being reciprocated. That's why we need accountability, and you need crazy faith friends. You can't live bottled up in your brokenness. Hallelujah. Come on, just lift your hands and thank God for that. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Man, I had to spend all my time on that. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. What is that? That's the prayer of forgiveness, repentance, and the prayer of intercession. We got to pray for one another. If you know a brother or a sister's going through, what is it? You got to pray for them. Because there's one day and one season of your life that you're going to be going through. And you're going to need people to reciprocate and respond to you in the same way. But if you all closed up and closed off and cut off from other people and you never call anybody or you never confide in anyone, you basically shut down that law from working in your life. See, restoration comes after repentance and prayer. We read in Job 42:10, what happened? And the Lord did what? Restored Job's losses when he did what? When he did what? For his who? His friends had offended him. We just read Job this year, right? His friends had offended him. Tell him, you must have done something wrong. You must have sinned. Well, he slipped. Only thing Job did was slip. He slipped into fear. Who hasn't slipped into fear in this room? He slipped into fear and being afraid, and he let the hedge of protection down around his kids, his family, and then the devil came in and had a party. Well, he needed forgiveness. He needed repentance. And so God restored him when he did what? Prayed for his friends who had all abandoned him and offended him. And indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had. Restoration. Could it be that God's waiting to restore, but he said you got to reconcile these issues with someone else? Remember, I said the law of reciprocation works primarily, almost exclusively, in supernatural relationships. There's somebody you're mad at, somebody you offended or offended by, frustrated with. You got to get it right. You got to practice instant forgiveness and unconditional love. Amen. It's going to hinder you. It's going to hinder your healing. It's going to hinder your restoration. And your recovery from your losses. Praise God. Hallelujah. Two more. Y'all ready? All right. We're going to close then. Guys, I guess we got a short lesson today. Y'all getting something out of this tonight? Society. Number six, society. So number one is supplication. Number two is suffering. Number three is singing. Number four is sickness. Number five is sin. Five primary areas that require some prayer in some form. And then number six is society. So we see the example of Elijah in verse 17 and 18. Our community, our city, our country, and our county and our country. Now, where we witness is where we are to work. I'll say it again. Where we witness, we are to work. There's four areas of missional reaching. We said it on Sunday. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. It's in the vision document we gave you for the dream team meeting. Right? We're supposed to reach. That's working. That's witnessing. Witnessing is the worst. But we're supposed to do warfare, in a sense, a prayer context, in those areas. You're not supposed to show up to work and not pray for the people on your job. You're not supposed to walk through your neighborhood and go to the mailbox and not pray for your neighbors. Come on. Okay, are y'all listening to me? You're not supposed to have holiday dinners and Thanksgiving and Christmas, and you never lifted up one sentence to God in prayer for their salvation, their restoration, or their deliverance. Come on now. Why have a party when you haven't prayed? Why play when you haven't prayed? We always say the family or the community that sticks together, prays together, sticks together. Our community, our society, our city, our whatever's going on in the city, we're responsible. We're responsible for our city. That's why we pray for our leaders. We're responsible for our community. We're responsible for our country. As Christians of God's church, we're responsible. James, by the Holy Spirit, uses Elijah to illustrate and to us and illuminate us that God still answers prayer even on a national scale. Can you imagine the weather and the national economy being controlled through prayer? He prayed and the heavens stopped raining. Now, in an agricultural society like then, they needed rain because that, you know, fed the crops and watered the crops, and that yielded all kinds of stuff for the animals and plants, and it affected the economy. So for 3.5 years, they were in a drought. How many of you remember the drought we had this summer? Wasn't it rough? The heat wave and the drought, it's bad. Well, he prayed, and it impacted society. What are we to do? We are to pray, and it impacts our society, our community, our city, our county, our country. Somebody say, praise the Lord. We have to pray for and intercede for those needs of our community and things outside the church that affect people. And then number 7, last one, verse 19 and 20. The straying. Number 7 is straying. So number 1 is supplicating. Number 2 is suffering. Number 2 is singing. Number 4 is sickness. Number 5, sin. Number 6, society. Number 7, straying. So straying, S-T-R-A-Y-I-N-G. He said, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth. Wanders from what? There's a lot of voices out there. And some people struggle and they stray. They slip into darkness and drift into darkness even when the light's been shining through their local church, from their pulpit. The light, they go into darkness. They stray. He said, when anyone wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, that's what we're supposed to do. Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death. Now, the first death is always spiritual death. Spiritual death is separation from God. Separation from God's presence, God's peace, God's power, God's protection, and God's provision. Death starts at the moment sin is conceived. James said it early in chapter 1. When sin comes forth and conceived, it brings forth death. Something starts dying. First thing is spiritual death. And then we can get into a whole death dissertation, but I'm not going to. He said, cover a multitude of sin. So we're supposed to cover each other. If I go off, guess what the church's response is supposed to be? And I stop preaching truth and start preaching some junk. And during this midterm election, some churches were preaching junk because they were preaching politics instead of the gospel. But if I err that way, guess what you're supposed to be doing? Praying. Praying to restore me back to alignment of truth. If we see one another going off from truth into error, then what are we supposed to do? Pray for them. You know, what do we do when we see a brother or sister? I don't know about that tithing stuff. We talked about it earlier, check your wealth. And people stop tithing, stop obeying God's principles and life law of tithing. And they, what do? We got to Because sin contaminates and corrupts the church. And definitely the Christian who's doing it. So it's a contaminant. We got to cover a multitude of sins through our prayers. Now, I'm closing with this point. Daniel had to pray for his whole nation, sister. We read Daniel just a few days ago. He had to repent and pray and stand in the gap and intercede for his whole nation. Because pretty much the whole nation had gone astray. What happens, sister, when your family members go astray? You raise them up in the things of God, in the things of the Lord. Now they go directly opposite of what you taught them and showed them by your model and your mentoring. Now, if you had modeled and mentored, that's a whole nother story. But if you modeled and mentored and gave them messages, no mixed messages, that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and they walk astray to that, guess what you need to be doing? You need to be praying. Praise God. Come on, stand to your feet and let's pray right now. Just pray a little bit right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.